Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. A couple of years ago, we did a show downstairs in the green space with The Hold Steady, the Minneapolis-born, Brooklyn-based indie rockers, and we had the indie hip-hop group Das Racist open up for them. And when Hold Steady singer Craig Finn took the stage, practically the first thing he did was to shout out to the opening act. Obviously, he enjoyed following Ashok Kondabolu and the rest of Das Racist on our stage, which is a good thing because today he follows Hari Kondabolu, Ashok's brother, here in our studio. Craig's not here to play live. We have Texas electropop artist Sarah Jaffe here to do that. No, Craig's here to help us all get smarter about the Minnesota band The Replacements. And Hari Kondabolu is here because of our ongoing quest to assemble a playlist of the funniest songs ever. Hari is a comedian whose album is called Waiting for 2042, and he's got some suggestions to add to our list. Hari, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Hey, Jen, how's it going?
Good. So let's start with the first song on your list. I was so glad to see that you picked Art Brut.
Oh, they're brilliant.
You could have picked any song from this band.
Yeah, because they kind of all have this element of deconstructing like pop music and rock music specifically, and this song, Formed a Band, I think is so funny because it's like, this is what every band thinks when they start. They think they're going to be the biggest thing in the world and that everyone's going to love them. They're going to change the world with their music. They have these incredible origin stories. Well, you know, we went to high school together and he had a friend and we were in this other band. And everybody thinks they're amazing. And Art Brut just kind of destroys that in one song.
The English kind of post-punk deconstructivist band known as Art Brut. Talking to the kids.
It's so funny.
A send-up of every band's debut. And the best part is, this was their debut.
Yeah, this was their debut. That's and there's something arrogant about that while they're going after everyone else being cocky and full of it. It's like, look at us. We're going to break you down. It's amazing.
Art Brut from the UK and a song called Formed a Band. They have the benefit of being a great band, too.
Also, yes.
Yeah. So that's on Hari Kondabolu's list of funniest songs. I don't know if I'll allow that. I guess I have to allow it. But your brother makes an appearance on your list.
Yeah. Das Racist makes the list with the song Fake Patois, which is, I mean, the whole song is about people who use fake, like, Jamaican patois when throughout entertainment. And in order to spoof that, to mock that, they're using a fake patois throughout the song. And they list Jim Carrey. They list Busta Rhymes. I think they list Jay-Z. They're going over everyone who's used a fake patois while they're using a fake patois. And for some reason, they decide to mention that Sean Bridge Mohan is the first Jamaican in the Kentucky Derby.
Uh-huh.
The first Jamaican in the Kentucky Derby, over and over. That tidbit just throughout the song So now I know who Sean Bridge Mohan is, the first Jamaican in the Kentucky Derby.
Right. He's a jockey based, actually, in Chicago these days, but for some years was based here in New York City.
Right.
So.
But he's also the first Jamaican in the Kentucky Derby.
Apparently so. So this is your brother,
Ashok. Hema, and Victor from Das Racist.
All right. And the song is from their free mixtape called Shut Up, Dude. And it's called Fake Patois. Turn the music
Yup, got the fake patois. Keras One did a fake patois. Miss Clue got a fake patois. Even Jay-Z did a fake patois. Bad Brains had a fake patois. My man Snow had a fake patois. Even Jim Carrey took off with the patois. So you know we come through with the fake patois. Patois, got the fake patois. We come through with the fake patois. Patois, patois, patois. Fake, fake, patois. What you know about Sean Bridge Mohan? What you know about Sean Bridge Mohan? First Jamaican in a Kentucky Derby. First Jamaican in a Kentucky Derby. What you know about Sean Bridge Mohan? What you know about Sean Bridge Mohan? First Jamaican in a Kentucky Derby. First Jamaican in a Kentucky Derby. Yeah, nah, one speak patois. Make one talk that fake patois. Everyone I listen to fake patois. Snow from Toronto, fake patois. Original rude boy. Original.
I wonder if Sean Bridge Mohan even knows he's in this song.
Yeah, I wonder too.
Those are two very different worlds that they live in.
Yeah, horse racing and the world of mixtapes. Das
right.
Racist, Ashok Kondabolu, and the rest of the gang.
Yep.
Hari Kondabolu is with me on soundcheck and sharing some of his funniest songs, and that one is called Fake Patois. And, you know, a lot of Das Racist's songs, I mean, even the goofy hit, the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell, had a kind of skewering of consumer culture,
yes.
And there's a skewering going. I mean, it's not just like jokey stuff. There's,
right. But the thing is, you know, like all of those things can be the same. Like you can skewer, as I do with my stand-up, like it's like you can skewer the things that mean something to you and you find important and still be hilarious
right.
about it. And I think a lot of people maybe didn't even understand what they were doing there. But it's there. It's like embedded in the stuff.
Well, you know, they do say, you know, the best satire is when you're setting up something that really means something to you.
Right.
You know,
right.
That you feel strongly about.
Right.
Hari Kondabolu will be at Caroline's on Broadway this weekend, Friday through Sunday. His comedy album's called Waiting for 2042. And he's sharing some of his funniest songs with us. We wanted to share some of what our listeners have been suggesting with you. So
sure.
Let's go to the phones and hear a message that came in earlier this week from Andrew.
Hi, my name's Andrew. You asked about funny songs, and one song I really like is by Gaelic Storm. They're a Celtic band, and they sing this song about the night that one of the lead singers punched Russell Crowe.
Here's a little story about someone that you know. He was a right famous fella by the name of Russell Crowe. I was working at a pub, he was smoking at the bar. That's a crime is all you know in California. So I sidled up the rail, right to where he stood. I said, I'm sorry, Mr. Crowe, as nicely as I could. You'll have to put that out now, throw it on the floor. If you don't, I'll kick you out and show you to the door. Well, he squared right up to me, somewhat in surprise. Then he narrowed up his gaze, shot me daggers with his eyes. If you think you're man enough, go ahead, he said. I was scared for my life, so I docked him in the head. The closest I've come to ending up dead was the night that I punched Russell Crowe, the gladiator, in the head.
Okay, I wonder if that's a fake patois. I wonder if it's a fake brogue or whatever there from California.
What's funny to me in that is that, like, I'm sure that's not the first time there are Russell Crowe stories like that. This is the first band that decided to finally cash in and write a song about it.
The band is Gaelic Storm, and the song is The Night I Punched Russell Crowe. So our listener Andrew suggested that. It's a pretty funny song. Here's another suggestion. Listen to this one from Robin.
Hi, you were asking for the funniest songs, anything pretty much, by the Arrogant Worms. It's a Canadian group, but my two favorites are Baby Poo, or Fat Man in a Speedo.
It's the most frightening thing in the world. It's the scariest sight I've ever seen. The most chilling visual, the most terrifying scene. It's awful, it's crappy, it's monstrous, it's bad, it's really, really huge. It's Batman in a Speedo.
The Arrogant Worms is the name of the band, and our listener Robin calls that Fat Man in a Speedo for obvious reasons, but the real name of the song is Really Scary.
Wait, they went with Really Scary for the name of the song
yeah.
over Fat Man in a Speedo?
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
wow.
I know. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to call your band the Arrogant Worms
right.
and do a song called Baby Poo, and you're going to write a song about a fat man in a Speedo, it seems like you would want to name
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that seems to be the thing people are going to remember. Hey, what's the name of the song about a fat man in a Speedo? Oh, it's called Really Scary?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So, Hari, let's get back to your list of funny songs. Morrissey is on your list. Why?
He's hilarious. I mean, he's so miserable, but, like, throughout his music, there are, like, funny lines and, you know, I mean, some girls are bigger than others. Like, that's so mean, and it's kind of funny. And, I mean, heaven knows I'm miserable now. Like, Girlfriend in a Coma almost made this list, from, you know, this all Smith stuff, but Girlfriend in a Coma... Just because it's like he's clearly in this relationship that's terrible and he doesn't want to be in it. And she's in a coma and he's happy and he's pretending not to be happy and he wants to smother her. And it's like I was thinking of putting that on the list, but it's so awful.
But too dark even for your list?
Dude, it's like, Jesus. But at the same time, you know, he's funny throughout his stuff. He has clever lines. He's so, like, just awful and miserable. And yet you kind of like him because he's so clever. And this is, you know, one of his solo songs. It's called We Hate It When Our Friends Become Successful.
We hate it when our friends become successful. We hate it when our friends become successful. Oh, look at those clothes. Now look at that face. It's so old. And such a video.
You're really enjoying this.
Oh, man. It's funny to listen to something without the context of, like, you know, on your headphones walking around. But just as a comedic piece, he's talking about destroying his friends because he's upset that they're successful. And if they're Northern, that makes it even worse.
If, like, they're Northern.
It's a funny song. And I think people don't always see him as funny because it's Morrissey. And he's so full of himself. And he's an incredible performer. But he's hilarious.
So do you think he's intentionally hilarious? Because you could also read this song as just as being really about the jealousy that success engenders among friends.
I think he's actually that dude, to be honest with you. But I think he's still clever enough to write that and make that funny. I mean, he knows why it's funny. I don't think he cares if you laugh at him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you make a joke, I don't think he cares if you laugh. He thinks it's funny. I also happen to think it's funny, but I don't think he cares, which makes it even more appealing to me.
So the line about, and then we have to destroy them.
Yeah, that's so brutal. He's so brutal.
Hari Kondabolu, the comedian, is with us here on Soundcheck today as we continue our week-long search for the funniest songs ever. You know, Jens Lechman has been here on the show. In fact, he was here for this record that you're going to next from 2007, the Cortadola album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't remember him being a laugh riot or that record being a laugh riot. And yet there is a song from that album on your list.
I mean, this is, it's, this is such a sweet song. It's such a beautiful song. So maybe some people don't think of it as funny, but the scenario is incredible. I mean, the whole song is about his best friend being a lesbian and his and her dad doesn't know. So he has to pose as her boyfriend. And the whole time, they're like him and the father interacting, and he's like faking, you know, the story. He's forgetting what the lie is that they came up. Like, are you moving to New York? No, I'm going back to Sweden. But I thought, and it's like, oh, like he, the whole time he's bumbling through it, and he does this in the sweetest song. So it's not like a laugh riot, but it's such a funny scenario. And the fact that you can make a song about this, whether it's true or imagined, is to me amazing. So. You know, I think it's funny. I didn't laugh through it, but the whole time I had a smile on my face.
Yeah. And when the chorus comes in, it comes in with such a weird kind of change of instrumentation and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of like over the top.
Oh, totally over the top.
All right. Let's hear a little bit of A Postcard to Nina by Jens Lehmann.
Nina, I can't be your boyfriend, so you can stay with your girlfriend. Father is a sweet old man, but it's hard for him to understand that you want to love a woman. Nina, I can be your boyfriend if it puts an end to all this nonsense. First time I see you in Berlin, and you don't tell me anything until outside your dad's apartment. I try to focus on your eyes. We're having dinner with your family now. Keep a steady look at your left eyebrow. If it's raised, it means yes. If it's not, it means take a guess. Hey, you stop kicking my legs. I'm doing my best. Can you pass the plate?
I have to say, that's a great line about, you know, being kicked under the table.
Right, right. Like, I forgot what the lie you told me.
I think we've all been there.
Yes. If I raise my eyebrow, that means say yes to whatever my father's. I forgot the code. Did you raise your eyebrow? It's like, you can imagine how awful and hilarious that situation is. And so I just, the fact that he wrote such a sweet song, and to me, it's not like, I don't laugh when I listen to it, but I definitely smile and can imagine how funny that film would be.
Jens Lehmann, the song's called A Postcard to Nina, and that is on Hari Kondabolu's list of his favorite comic songs. We have time for one more. Sure. Belle and Sebastian, the Scottish band.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're kind of considered the progenitors of twee rock.
Yeah.
How easy is it to go from twee to being genuinely comic?
Right. I mean, I don't think this is one of those unintentional. I don't think that this song was meant to be funny, but to me, like, I remember being in college and this came on the radio and me and my friends just started laughing. It's called Piazza, New York Catcher. It was during that time period where Mike Piazza, the New York Mets catcher, there were rumors that he was gay. And
right.
This is the climate at the time. He actually had a press conference to say he was not gay. Nothing else to the press conference but to address those rumors. I am not gay. And so I guess they're from Glasgow, I think, right? But
right.
So they must have come for a visit, watching TV, like, oh, baseball, the American game of baseball. Oh, this popular sportsman is on the television saying he's not gay. This is remarkable. And so they do this song called Piazza, New York Catcher, and it's this... It's clearly somebody, like folks who've never really seen baseball. The way they talk about baseball is very bizarre to me. Like, life outside a diamond is a wretch. Like, what? What are you? Have you ever? Have you sat through a game, Belle and Sebastian? What is this? And so, and it's just so funny. Also, again, just like Sean Bridges-Mohan from earlier, like, I don't know if Mike Piazza knows this song exists. I doubt that Mike Piazza's ever heard this song. I have a feeling he's more of a hair metal guy, I'm guessing. But I find it amazing that this song exists, and it's funny to me still.
And these to me have been the most interesting songs of this week-long search for the, you know, our playlist of funniest songs are the ones that were not intended to be funny.
No, they are just so ridiculous because they require context. It's, and this, they're total outsiders when they come to this country and see that and write the song. Like, that's amazing that they caught this moment. And then it forces us to look at ourselves. I'm like, oh, God, that happened. And they caught us in this moment, and they made this ridiculous song about it.
Well, we'll hear Belle and Sebastian with their song Piazza, New York Catcher. And comedian Hari Kondabolu will be at Caroline's on Friday. Caroline's on Broadway, Friday the 19th through Sunday the 21st. His comedy album's called Waiting for 2042. He's been sharing some of his funniest songs with us. And Hari, good to see you again.
Good to see you, John.
San Francisco's calling us, the Giants and Mets will play. Piazza, New York, catcher, are you straight or are you gay? We hung about the stadium, we got no place to stay. We hung about the tenderloin, and tenderly you tell about the saddest book you ever read. It always makes you cry, the statue's crying too, and Willie May.
That's Belle and Sebastian's Piazza, New York Catcher. Just one of the songs that comedian Hari Kondabolu has added to our playlist of the funniest songs ever. Tell us about a song that makes you laugh. Call us up at 866-939-1612. Up next, Sarah Jaffe has transformed herself from an acoustic singer-songwriter to an electropop artist. She joins us in the studio with songs from her latest record called Don't Disconnect. That's next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Sarah Jaffe's albums are like snapshots of her sonic evolution. Her first full-length album, Suburban Nature, was an acoustic affair filled with moody ballads and quiet moments. But 2 years ago, Sarah Jaffe released The Body Wins, an album pulsing with electronics. Her latest album is a continuation of that sound, but it has evolved yet again. The album's called Don't Disconnect, and today Sarah and her band are here with me in the Soundcheck studio to play some of it for us. They're going to start us off with a song called Lover Girl. Here's Sarah Jaffe.
That's full, and you spill all over me. My hands in mine. lovesick world, and I'm your lover girl. I'm your lover girl. I'm your lover girl. I'm your lover
Songs called Lover Girl. That is Sarah Jaffe, and a tune from her latest album, Don't Disconnect, in a live performance here on Soundcheck, with Robert Gomez playing guitar, Scott Danborn playing the keyboards, including our piano, and Rob Sanchez behind our drum kit here on Soundcheck. The album's called Don't Disconnect. Sarah Jaffe, welcome to Soundcheck.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Everybody's talking about how, you know, the sound of your music has changed over the years from kind of acoustic singer-songwriter, girl with guitar, to this full-on sort of electronic thing. Did you hear this kind of sound in your mind's ear from day one?
You know, I think yes and no. I mean, the way I started out was just like you said, it was just me and an acoustic guitar. And, you know, I started playing in and around the Dallas area, and slowly kind of over time, especially after I moved to Denton a few years ago.
Denton's where the University of North Texas
is,
right? Yes,
UNT. Yeah. Home of the Eagles. But I just slowly over time met all my band members, and I think, you know, as well, I've grown up, but I've also evolved with my band, you know. And I've always listened to the same things. And
like what?
I grew up listening to like folk music, James Taylor, Cat Stevens. But I love artists, everything, you know, that ranges from Radiohead to Top 40 Radio. I mean, I love all of that. I'm just constantly ingesting different kinds of music.
Yeah. You're in your 20s still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it's almost done. It's almost over.
But still, very rare to hear someone your age say, hey, I grew up with Cat Stevens and James Taylor and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be your parents' music.
Oh, all my parents, yeah.
Okay.
It was almost solely James Taylor with a splash of Cat Stevens every once in a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then along came Radiohead and...
Yeah, when CDs were the thing, I miss owning just the CD. And there was a CD warehouse. You could, like, just buy a ton of CDs, and that's what I used to do.
So you have the same kind of nostalgia for
Absolutely.
The physical thing.
Absolutely.
That people my age have for the LP.
Well, now it's kind of switched over to the LP. It's like a romanticizing of a time that I just didn't really grow up in, and I love having the actual vinyl in my hands now.
So, do you now release your stuff on vinyl?
I do. Yeah, The Body Wins, Suburban Nature, and Don't Disconnect. All three of those are on vinyl.
And do you do the 180 gram?
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's an interesting title, Don't Disconnect, because, you know, music's about emotion and you know, connecting with, you know, maybe it's a character connecting with a lover in the song and you connecting with your audience. And we think of connection as a very kind of organic word, but disconnect, and it didn't strike me until you released this album, disconnect is not an organic word.
Sure.
We use that as a technological word.
Yeah.
Were you kind of playing with that?
Absolutely. You know, when I wrote the song itself, the title track, it was more about just being, like, physically away from the people that I love. But I also, you know, in titling the record, it kind of encompasses the period of time in which I was just basically distracting myself with every, like, technological thing I could, and just kind of lost myself in that world, and didn't really... I wasn't writing a lot of music. I was just kind of like paying attention to everything else that was going on, like Facebook feeds and all that other blah, the weight of that, and just kind of losing myself in all of that. And so I think that it, you know, after it was all said and done, the record was made, it's taken on a few different meanings for me as far as that goes.
Well, you know, for someone who, by her own admission, lost herself in technology there, here you made a record that's kind of knee-deep in it, right?
Exactly. I think it took me being in the studio to really apply that much-needed pressure, you know. When it was just me by myself, it was a little bit more difficult. I needed to have the spirit of collaboration happening.
Yeah.
So.
And then some of the titles, I mean, we talk about Disconnect in the title track, Don't Disconnect, but the song you're going to do for us next, Fatalist, sounds like a very dark and dreary title. But this song has a kind of little twist to it, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah. I think it was my attempt at trying to have a sense of humor about almost, I mean, I'm kind of almost talking about kind of the disconnect that we're talking about, how we kind of lose ourselves in something and we become so numb, you know, light topics. We become numb to to just everything outside of ourselves except ourself, and we kind of lose that. And we almost just, we can't even tell the difference sometimes between right and wrong because of that.
Yeah, sounds like fun stuff.
Fun stuff, you know. Don't disconnect. Yay.
All right. Well, let's. You want to play the song for us?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Sarah Jaffe is with me here on Soundcheck today. She's brought her band into the Soundcheck studio as well. They are playing some songs from Sarah's latest album called Don't Disconnect. And as we just discussed, this one is called Fatalist. Sarah's strapping on the electric guitar, and we'll hear a performance from her and the band live on Soundcheck.
These are the same thoughts that I had yesterday. Oh, lady, lady, don't you have habit when swiftly becomes end. Either will die, will die, will die, will die without a conscience.
Sarah Jaffe, live on Soundcheck with her song Fatalist, which you will find on her most recent album called Don't Disconnect. Once again, Sarah Jaffe singing and playing the guitar, Robert Gomez also playing guitar, Scott Danborn on the keyboards, and Rob Sanchez behind the drum kit. And at the risk of being obvious, after a song in which we were just told that people will die from the obvious, that is one brassy instrument that you have in your upper register there.
Oh, well, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, this is the difference between listening to something on a CD or a digital file and being in a room with you.
Absolutely.
That voice, when that upper register really cuts through everything.
Oh,
Where did you learn to sing like that?
My mom said of this, my family specifically, I think, is where the musical side of me is. My dad's side, more the appreciation. But, you know, I grew up singing in church choir. My mom had me singing, you know, from the get-go.
Right.
Out the womb in the church choir. But, yeah, she...
You the kid that the choir master was always saying, Sarah, a little softer, please, let's hear the other kids?
No, I was lazy, real lazy. I didn't sing a lot of the times. I just mouthed the words. Yeah.
So then what was the turning point for you? When did the light bulb go on and you thought, this singing thing, I could do this?
You know, I think from the second I got a guitar, I fell in love with songwriting. And just like the whole discovery. I remember playing like the first guitar chord. I didn't have a concept of what chords were. And I thought that I was making... like inventing notes, basically. But I think the first time that I performed, and I use the term perform lightly, it was an open mic night and there was a band sitting up behind me. But I just fell in love with that connection, I think, of having a crowd that you don't know and no one knows who you are, and just having a singular song, like... something just happens in that moment.
So was this in Dallas or in Denton? In
Dallas. Yeah, the first show was at a club called Club Dada in Deep Ellum. And I was 17. My parents were there. They had to escort me, basically.
Nice.
but that was the moment that I was like, yeah, I think I could do this for the rest of my life. I mean, I always knew I wanted to write songs, maybe for other people, which fortunately I've kind of been able to do as of late. But yeah. I think that was the moment.
Well, now you mentioned writing songs for other people, too. You've been working with the hip-hop producer, S1, also known as Symbolic One.
Yes.
And lo and behold, one of your songs is on the Eminem record.
Yeah, that was a funny, a great surprise. That's just something that, you know, sometimes you wait, like sometimes you wait so long. And it's like one song out of every, like, 100 songs, something will happen. And this was a case of like this, I think this was the first or second song we did together. And it was, you know, 6 months later, we found out that it was the first track on Eminem's record.
So how does that happen? Did one of you send the thing to Eminem and say, hey, listen to this?
It was all Symbolic One. I mean, he sent me tracks. He's like, you know, hey, do you want to write some hip hop hooks? And I always thought like my voice would be replaced by Rihanna or someone else. And and fortunately, they left my vocals as well. So I was like, well, that's great. But it was all him. I mean, he kind of acted as the middleman. And I mean, he's worked so long with different artists that he, you know, has a rapport with all of these people and these producers. So I didn't hear the song until the song came out.
So wait, you had no idea that your song
all
and
I knew
your
was the
voice.
Hook. Yep. Well, no, I knew that my voice was on the track.
Okay.
Like I knew that much, but I didn't hear his rap. I only knew what S1 and I had done together.
Okay.
Which is crazy.
We're talking about the song Bad Guy, which I can give you a little taste of here from the Eminem album called the Marshall Mathers LP 2.
But tonight, betcha that what you're about to go through is tougher than anything I ever have suffered. Can't think of a better way to define poetic justice. Can I hold grudges? Mind saying let it go, focus. Heart saying I will once I bury this. If alive, hide the shovel and then drive off in the sunset.
Pegged the first time you can see the truth.
just a little bit of Eminem's Bad Guy, featuring my guest Sarah Jaffe, and she's been here with her band in the Soundcheck studio. Sarah, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Eminem's Bad Guy, featuring Sarah Jaffe. You can hear our entire session with Sarah over at soundcheck.org. Coming up, one Minnesota boy talks about another. Craig Finn of the Hold Steady talks about his favorite songs by Paul Westerberg and his band, The Replacements, next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In the background is the song Kids Don't Follow by the recently reunited Minneapolis band The Replacements. Tomorrow night, New Yorkers, and quite possibly even our listeners from Detroit and beyond, will hear a mighty roar coming from the east when the loud and rowdy band plays at Forest Hills Stadium in Queens. Leading another famously loud band on the bill is one kid who did follow The Replacements, Craig Finn, leader of the band The Hold Steady. He has returned to the Soundcheck studio to talk about The Replacements with us. Craig, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So we asked you to pick some of your favorite songs by this band, and we can hear some of them in a moment, but listeners can find your mixtape on our website at soundcheck.org. But let me start with just like a really basic question. Why are The Replacements important?
I think The Replacements are important because they kind of combined sort of that early 80s punk rock and even a nod to hardcore with very vulnerable, sensitive lyrics. And they showed both sides. And they're in the American underground. They weren't just all bluster or all hard, but they really kind of had a huge range of human emotions. I think that's why they're important.
So as I mentioned, you're playing, you and the Hold Steady are playing with the Replacements at Forest Hills Stadium in Queens, but you just got back from playing with them back in your old home stomping grounds there in Minnesota. How'd it go?
It went really great. I mean, it was one of the few shows in a long time that I've been really nervous for, and there were a lot of people. There's 14,000 people there. It sold out in about 10 minutes, and there was a lot of drama about people trying to get in, and it was all very exciting, and we played well, which was great, and I wanted it to go really well, and then I got to watch The Replacements, who played not only a fantastically tight set and seemed to be in good spirits, but the set list was just fantastic. I think they hit all the songs I wanted to.
Well, now let me ask you this. Is it really The Replacements?
I think so. I mean, you know, one of the guys you'd like to see there isn't alive anymore, Bob Stinson.
Bob Stinson.
And, you know, Chris Marz left the band before they actually broke up. So I think when you have Paul and Tommy, you have The Replacements. Now, a lot of people
That's
are
Paul Westerberg.
Yeah, and Tommy Stinson.
And Tom Stinson.
A lot of people are going to disagree with me, and I think they're right to have their own opinion. But I think this is a great celebration of the songs, The Replacements, and it's Replacements enough for me.
So did they play Color Me Impressed?
They played Color Me Impressed.
Tell me why this is on your playlist of essential Replacements songs.
When I first got into The Replacements, I was playing tennis with this kid, and he said, hey, if you like the Ramones, you should check out this band, The Replacements. And I went out and got Hootenanny. It was the first album I got. I was the newest one at the time, and this was my favorite song from the record, so I guess it was my first favorite Replacement song.
Everybody at your party.
The Replacements, Color Me Impressed, from their 1983 album, Hootenanny. An early favorite of my guest, Craig Finn, lead singer of the band The Hold Steady. The Hold Steady and the Reformed Replacements are performing along with the band Deer Tick. It's a triple bill tomorrow night at Forest Hills Stadium here in New York. When you played recently with the Replacements back in Minnesota, it was at the St. Paul Saints old ball field, right?
Yeah, Midway Stadium it's called, and it was actually the last event I think they're ever going to do there. They're going to tear it down because they have a new stadium, so that kind of added to the, I don't know, the atmosphere of the whole evening.
So they're a Minnesota band, as the Hold Steady was at the beginning. But unlike the Hold Steady, where you guys have been Brooklyn-based for so long now, the Replacements have always maintained that kind of Midwestern identity. How important was that for you as a kid?
It was very important because I always thought, and I've said this a million times, I never knew anyone that looked like Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, but I knew a lot of guys that looked like Paul Westerberg. So when I saw the Replacements the first time, I thought, God, I could do this. This is something that's kind of possible. And I think a lot of people felt like that. And, you know, in things were just in the 80s, you know, prior to the internet, I think things were more regional. And so the Replacements were, growing up there, ours, the same way like a sports team was.
Right. And so what was the scene like there? Who else was circulating around the time the Replacements were getting going?
Well, I was in high school, so I was a little outside of it. But I would certainly, from my knowledge, Husker Du and Soul Asylum were the other two big bands. You had the Jayhawks and bands like the Magnolias, Babes in Toyland. But I think Husker Du and the Replacements were the big ones.
Yeah. So there was a kind of a thriving scene, you know, a kind of satellite scene to the punk music that was happening in New York and had already moved to the West Coast. But it wasn't just a kind of, as you said before, it's not just a rush of youthful exuberance. There's like...
No,
wide array of emotions here.
And all those bands mentioned, there was sort of a focus on songs, you know? I mean, Husker Du and the Replacements both seemed to be writing writing really good songs that they played at big, loud volumes and sometimes fast tempos.
Right. And even like the title of the Replacements' 1981 album, Sorry Ma, Forgot to Take Out the Trash.
I always think that it's possible the Replacements were the first real self-deprecating band. And I think it's kind of funny when you see like Nirvana and the Loser t-shirts that came out some years later. I always kind of tie that back to the Replacements being like, they always kind of were saying, well, we aren't that good. Why would you like us? And there was most bands before that I knew about were kind of like, we're awesome.
Right.
We're the best.
Right, right. This song, I'm in Trouble, from your list of Replacements favorites. This is from that album.
Yeah, and it's also the first 7-inch they put out before their first album. And I think it just has a great Westerberg lyric. You're in love and I'm in trouble. It sounds like he's not totally in control of what's going to happen next.
Replacements, early Replacements. I'm in Trouble, released on their 1981 album, Sorry Ma, Forgot to Take Out the Trash. The Replacements formed in 1979, broke up in 91. A recently reunited version of the Replacements, now playing, played recently, along with the Hold Steady in Minnesota. They are playing on Friday, tomorrow night, at Forest Hills Stadium here in New York. Craig Finn, the lead singer of the Hold Steady and lifelong Replacements fan, is with us on Soundcheck, helping make us all a little smarter about this Minnesota band that was so important to him and to so many other people. The idea that... You know, fans could say Replacements suck and mean it in a good way. Sort of goes to what you were talking about just a moment ago.
Yeah, and also they didn't always show up and deliver the tightest performances. Sometimes they'd kind of give you reason to say that. I mean, the first time I saw them, they, you know, I'd never seen a band that sort of felt like finishing songs was optional. They'd start songs and they'd fade out. They try to play songs they didn't know, and it was different than what I'd seen before out of bands.
Now, the late Bob Stinson, what was he wearing the first time you saw the band?
Oh, I don't remember, but usually something loud and some sort of a lot of time kind of overall type things. But his costumes could get wild and flamboyant, and he was a crazy player. I mean, he would just go, he was just out.
Yeah, and would eventually start wearing a dress.
Yeah, oftentimes he wore a dress. I never saw him live when he wore a dress, but I've seen a lot of photos.
So what was it like for you to actually, you know, I mean, you've been in the business now a long mm-hmm. time. The Hold Steady have a place in the indie rock pantheon, but there you are, you know, at St. Paul's, the Saint Stadium, with the Replacements. What was that like for you?
I mean, it's felt full circle in something because, I mean, there's a lot of hyperbole, but I can honestly say the Replacements changed my life. I heard that band and I said, I think that this is what I want to do, and I think I can. I can at least try. So it was emotional at times, and there's certain songs they played, Bastards of Young being one, that I got kind of emotional.
Yeah. What is your all-time favorite replacement song?
My all-time favorite song is I Will Dare by the Replacements, and it's just, I love it. It's the first song off my favorite record by theirs, Let It Be, and I still remember kind of when I heard it, it was the fall of my eighth grade year, and I think it's incredibly romantic, the idea, if you will dare, I will dare, meaning the idea that falling in love is a really brave thing.
Yeah. And also, listen to the difference in the sound. This is now, what, 1984?
84. So and you know, this is a very poppy, kind of cool, very, very cool. I always feel cool when I listen to this song.
Let's listen to it then. I Will Dare from the album Let It Be by The Replacements. From their album Let It Be and a song called I Will Dare. If you want to hear Craig Finn's full playlist of essential songs by The Replacements, it's on our website at soundcheck.org. Craig is the lead singer of The Hold Steady. They are performing with The Replacements at Forest Hills Stadium here in Queens this weekend, along with the band Deer Tick. And Craig is talking us through the essential Replacements. It strikes me that Let It Be is just 1 year after Hootenanny, and it's just a quantum leap between those two. What happened?
I don't know. You know, I wonder if maybe there was just that much time on the road or that much time with instruments or maybe just listening to different things or confidence. But, I mean, Let It Be, like Hootenanny, has a lot of different types of things on it, you know? I think Let It Be is amazing to me because on the second side, you have Unsatisfied and 16 Blue, which are these very sad, melancholy, sensitive songs, as well as you have the song Gary's Got a Boner, which is a brash, like Ted Nugent kind of riff. It still shows all the things they do.
Right. What do you make of them titling the album Let It Be?
I think it's sort of their own. They always had a sense of humor, and the fact that on the cover they're on the roof, I think, kind of ties it all together.
Right. So, but this is a band that, you know, did not actually seek out the spotlight in a big way.
It did not seem like it. In fact, they might have shunned it. You know, it seemed like there were moments when they were set to kind of grab the brass ring and intentionally might have sabotaged that. But that's part of their charm.
What did you make of the controversy that arose in some circles when the Replacements, this kind of avatar of indie ethos and DIY aesthetic signed to a major label?
Well, I was pretty young to understand it as an affront. I thought, God, you know, they're doing great. I was excited for them. I thought it was sort of a good thing and a tap on the shoulder from the big guys in New York, so to speak. And they came out and made a great record, Tim. So I was all happy. And even though I'd been a fan for a few years, the first time I ever saw them was in the 7th Street Entry on the Tim album release shows. So I have kind of a personal connection to that record that way.
And that's the one that Tommy Ramone produced.
Yeah. I just remember them coming out and saying, our new album's called Tim, and thinking, well, that's ridiculous, you know? The album has a name. His name's Tim. I think that was just part of, oh, there they are. Still had their sense of humor intact.
Right. And the video they did for Bastards of Young was kind of an example of that.
Yeah, just a shot of the speaker on a stereo. You know, kind of they had to make a video, so they did.
Well, Craig Finn of The Hold Steady will be performing with his idols, The Replacements, The Hold Steady, Deer Tick, and The Replacements tomorrow night at Forest Hills Stadium here in New York in Queens. And Craig, this has been great fun going through the history of this band with you.
Thanks. It was really fun for me, too.
And why don't we leave our listeners with something from Tim? Tell us about Left of the Dial.
Left of the Dial is kind of almost as a phrase has taken on to mean something like, you know, underground or alternative music. I love it because it has one of Westerberg's great phrases, when he, sort of his wordplay, where he says, playing makeup, wearing guitar. Which is instead of wearing makeup, playing guitar. Right. I always thought that was a great line.
And I like the title Left of the Dial because it is the traditional location of public radio stations right across the country. Craig, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on the show, David Mitchell, author of Cloud Atlas and the highly anticipated new book, The Bone Clocks, joins us with a Pick 3 playlist. And the British indie rock quartet Glass Animals plays in our studio. They got a big early boost from rock guitarist Annie Clark, a.k.a. St. Vincent, when she asked the group to open for her on tour. They recently released their debut album, Zaba, and they'll play some of it for us live, and they'll eat some peanut butter live on the radio. Find out why tomorrow on Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.